you talked about the archival footage and the materials that you know, people were telling you, you know, you wouldn't be able to find. Where was this stuff coming from?
One of the great things about making the film was a lot of people found out we were making it and contacted us because they had a little piece of the puzzle. They had some personal photos or recordings. Some of the footage that survived that you find at the INA in France, it's always like, you know, oh, they opened a new hospital and it's a ribbon cutting ceremony, or oh, there's, you know, it's like that kind of footage, which a little of that kind of goes a long way. So Andrew Pope, my producing partner, was doing an internet search for Cambodian footage, and he found a small post-production facility in Minneapolis, and they were advertising that they had footage of Cambodia from the 50s, and it turns out that a guy in Minneapolis had inherited his uncle's house, and there was a box of Super 8 or 8mm footage in the attic, and he brought it to a post facility, and they transferred it, and it was all this incredible footage of Phnom Penh in the late 50s. I mean, this footage just doesn't exist anywhere else. You don't find this kind of footage. So it's heavily in the film, and it's really special footage because it's very man on the street. It's not, you know, it's not like set up like anything like a you know, some formal kind of ceremony. It's just really what the city was like at that point. And that's some of my favorite footage in the film.
Yeah, and I'm picturing this now after having seen the film. It's shots on the street of, like, in the marketplace, bikes and cars going by. And
yeah, and you see people dressed in, like, traditional clothes, and then a woman with a handbag with, like, a skirt comes by, very modern looking, and a Duchesneau, like, crosses paths with a Volkswagen, and, you know, you get the whole sort of thing that's happening there with the country modernizing, you know, at the same time being this sort of traditional place as well, and it's all there in the footage, and it's just so great. But that, you know, that kind of stuff, you'd think, you just assume that kind of footage exists for everywhere, but it doesn't for Cambodia. So much of it's been lost. And also the other footage that I really love, and it's only about a minute and a half, is a singer from the mid-70s named Yuel Larong, who was sort of more the punk rock attitude guy. It's sort of the end of the music scene. He was sort of the last wave of this whole scene. And that footage, we just came across in the INA's website. It wasn't marked. It didn't say who it was. It was just him performing outside at a, you know, a live concert. And one of the people in the film, the female singer Sing Von T, was next to him, and we interviewed her. And she talked about playing with him. And here we found the footage. I mean, there was no images of him at all. And his music's so great. And it's funny because recently I screened the film in Los Angeles, and after the screening, a young Cambodian American came up to me and said, "My father is Yuel Larong's brother." And so now we have all. So now it's just opening up a whole new door. I was like, "What? Are you kidding? It's great. I mean, it's really awesome." So now we're going to interview the brother, who's only about 6 years younger and has all this information that we weren't able to get for the film. But that'll be a DVD extra.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I think Yuel Larong is a really special character in the film. And a lot of people, you know, who see the film really relate to him.
Yeah, because the way that the people in the film were speaking about him, very free-spirited, anti-authoritarian, and just, yeah, he was the guy with the mustache and the long hair.
And he was using sarcasm, which was something very new for Cambodia. I mean, Cambodia in the 60s is a very, you know, while the music was great and the musicians were masterful, lyrically it was still very tame and beautiful, beautifully written songs, but not particularly, you know, edgy, let's say. And he was the first one to come along and sort of be that person. So he was taking the music in a new direction, and I always say it's really a shame. It would be great to see where he would have gone, but unfortunately we'll never know that.
Do you have any favorite songs that you encountered making this?
Well, from the soundtrack, you know, it's funny because there's one song in particular that's very potent. It's called "O Phnom Penh." It's the very last song on the record, and actually, it's not from this period. It's right from the very end of the period, after the Khmer Rouge fell. It was recorded to let people know that it was safe to come back to the Phnom Penh.
៣ឆ្នាំនឹកនាងគ្មានស្បាយក្នុងអរ៉ា
Now Phnom Penh had been emptied by the Khmer Rouge in 1975. 2 million people evacuated in 3 days, and if you didn't leave, you were just shot wherever you were. And so for 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days, you know, the entire urban population was living as basically as slaves farming in the countryside. So when the Khmer Rouge finally fell apart, you know, the city was a place to come back to, but people were afraid to come back. They didn't know if the Khmer Rouge were going to be there or what they were going to find. So this song was recorded to let people know it was safe to come back.
And it was just broadcast over the national radio and...
Yeah, yeah, it's broadcast, you know, everywhere they could, and, you know, it's an a cappella song, it's a very emotional song, and when you see it in the film, and people returning to this destroyed city, it's a very powerful moment, I think, in the film. But also, I should say that one of the nice things about the soundtrack, too, is that there's a link on it to the lyrics. So it's funny with this music, because I think a lot of Westerners fell in love with it, you know, who fell in love with Cambodia Rocks and other compilations without knowing what any of the words were. Because the music itself was so great and the singers were so great and just vocally their voices are so great. But once you start to get the songs translated and you realize the lyrics are equally great, it just makes it that much better. So that was another great thing I was happy to do with this compilation, was not just the liner notes, but also give people access to the lyrics.
Kong vung chrok kraom mlop tong prasat angkor oi that